What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I want to talk to you about ShipStation. When you're selling online, getting your orders out can be a real pain. It's time-consuming, it's expensive, so there's so many carriers to choose from. How do you know you're making the best choice? That's why you need ShipStation.com. It's the fastest, easiest, and most affordable way to manage and ship your orders. I don't know if you've ever tried to mail a letter, but it's almost impossible. It takes everything in our bodies and minds and hearts and souls to just mail a postcard. Why is it so hard? Well, guess what? If you have an online business where you're actually selling products and you have to mail them every day, I don't know how you can find the superhuman strength it takes to go to the post office. It's impossible. That's why you got to go use ShipStation. ShipStation helps you get orders out quickly, save money on shipping costs, and keep your customers happy no matter where you're selling. You could be selling on Amazon, Etsy, your own website. ShipStation doesn't care. They'll bring all your orders into one simple interface, and it makes them really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. ShipStation works with all the major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, UPS, even Amazon Fulfillment, so you can compare and choose the best shipping solution for you and your customer. And ShipStation has been voted one of the best rising companies. You'll always know that you're getting the best deal. No wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates available. This ShipStation is so good that even if you aren't selling things right now as a business, just look around your house right now. I bet there's a bunch of stuff you don't need. You can sell it online right now. Use ShipStation. It'll be so easy. Just start selling your stuff right now. Your Two Dads listeners can try ShipStation free for 60 days when you use promo code 2DADS. That's the word TWODADS. There's absolutely no risk. You can start your free trial without even entering your credit card info. That's unheard of. That's how proud they are and how sure they are that they are the best shipping option out there. Just visit ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TWODADS. That's 2DADS. That's ShipStation.com. Then enter promo code 2DADS. You can make ship happen. 60 days free. What have you got to lose? Literally nothing. ShipStation. Go do it.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey guys, you're about to listen to another episode of Your Two Dads, the podcast with me and Sean O'Connor. I'm Julian McCullough, where we are dads who are funny and we talk about being dads. And it would really help us out if you would tell a friend.
Please.
Do you hear how sad Sean is?
Please. For the cost of no coffee a day.
It's free to spread the joy of Your Two Dads, so please do it. And you know what? If they love it, we authorize you to charge your friend for that. So you can be like, oh, you like it? That'll be $5. That's fine with us if you do that. Hello!
Hey!
Hey, it's us, the dads.
It's your morning zoo.
Hey, it's me, the weasel.
That's not at all what he sounded like.
Oh, no, I'm not Pauly Shore.
Oh, you're a different weasel.
Stole Pauly Shore's thing and did it differently.
The weasel.
Oh, man. Hey, I'm Sean.
I never figured out if it was cool to like Pauly Shore because I thought he was so funny.
Yeah, I don't know if you're right.
That's son-in-law, though. Hey, that was a banger.
I'm Sean.
I'm Julian McCullough.
And we're your two dads. What up,
not
dude?
To be confused with the 80s show, Mad About You.
No, my
two dads. My two dads. Paul Reiser and Kenny Loggins. And their teenage daughter.
It was not Kenny
Loggins. Lily Sobieski.
Stacey Keenan.
Oh, wow. I didn't know you knew all this stuff.
Well, she was on Step by Step. I had the hots for Stacey Keenan.
Oh, yeah? Oh, that's right. She was, yeah.
Yeah,
she was the oldest, right?
The oldest daughter, yeah.
I never watched Step by Step.
Oh, you would, honestly, because you love shit so much, you would love it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the time, though, I was like, this sucks. I'm like, I'd watch Perfect Strangers and be like, epic. Yeah. And then I'd watch Full House and I'd be like, perfect. And then Step by Step would start. I'd be like, what is this bullshit? Yeah. I'm not getting pandered to.
Yeah, I'm tired of this normie stuff they're putting on TV. Hey, Julian, I have a question for you.
Oh, what is your question? It how could you be about anything. Oh.
How you dadding?
Oh, how was what?
How you dadding?
I am a dadding. How my dadding? Lulu got back from a long trip.
Oh, where'd she go?
She went, she fucking jet set it all over Europe. Her dad's French.
Oh, she's backpacking?
Yeah. she paid for a Dora the Explorer package. So she was in Europe for a while, and having her back is great. She's like just the funniest kid. She has jet lag like crazy. Like today was the first day she finally caught back up. So she'd been waking up at like 2 a.m. like, all right, let's go to the supermarket. You're like, no.
Did she come back with an accent?
No, she actually, this is really kind of American and shitty of me, but she came back and apparently she was like, because she speaks French. She can totally speak French, mm-hmm. but she like resists it the whole time. That she was over there, and I was like, yeah. Oh,
wow, I had no idea you were so MAGA.
I mean, either. No, she doesn't have an accent. She does have an accent.
When you're in America, you speak English.
Yeah. She says one word that I hope she never fixes. She calls them tomatoes because of Peppa Pig.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Tomatoes. Yeah. Zebras is what Nolan calls zebras because of Peppa Pig. Peppa Pig is destroying our children.
Mm-hmm. I always said, what is that thing online about Peppa Pig being 7'1" tall? Have you seen this?
Yeah, I have seen it.
Is that, what is that?
Well, that's just an accurate pig size. When they stand up?
Yeah,
because Peppa stands, she's not on all fours. So when she stands up, she'd be 7'1".
I was wondering where that number came from.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's funny.
She'd be as big as Shaq.
And that's, Shaq but is not as big as Shrek.
No, Shrek famously is bigger than Shaq.
Yeah.
And
famously?
Famously. You've never seen my short film, Shaq vs. Shrek, a one-on-one basketball game?
Tale of the tape. Don't you have a dad of the week?
I do have a dad of the week.
Wait, how are you dadding? Is anything going on with Nolan?
Oh, man, so much.
Isn't he, like, changing every day? He's at that age where it's, like, all of a sudden he can type.
Yeah, he's just talking. He's, like, picking up balls and being like, I found a blue one. And you're like, oh, cool.
You're, like, single tear going down your face.
I'm like, wow, you're putting together sentences out of nowhere.
He's like, Mets suck.
And I also lifted him and he felt 10 pounds heavier.
Aww.
I feel like maybe.
Well, that's also because you're getting weaker.
It could be, but I am worried kind of that he's turning into a Jack.
A Jack?
Like the movie Jack, where you age 4 years for every 1 year.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just don't want
him to. That movie everyone knows.
Yeah, I don't want him to be 80 at his high school graduation.
No,
that would
be
break
so
my
sad.
Heart.
I know.
My dad of the week this week is a Texas dad. What?
Oh, God. This will be
a
fun.
A Texas dad was charged with homicide. What?
Ah!
After 12-year-old daughter crashes SUV into man and his dog. So why he's the dad of the week? He's taking the rap for his daughter. Can you name a better dad than
That's
that?
That's true. You know, he was like, keep your mouth shut and don't say anything.
Yeah.
There's two rules.
His daughter was driving an SUV illegally, crashed into a man and a dog, killed them both, and then the dad is going to prison for it.
Wow.
Pretty good dad.
That's crazy.
Really makes you think. Would you?
Did you make sure he didn't buy her the SUV? Because that would hurt his standing.
Oh, basically what happened was he let his daughter drive the SUV.
Oh,
with,
my God. He's like, what's the worst that could happen?
Oh, this is the worst.
Oh, man.
Would you take the rap for your daughter?
Yeah, I would.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd be willing to go to prison for homicide.
Yeah, because you know what? If you tell the other dudes why you're there, they're like, all right, don't touch them.
Maybe, but at the same time, like, your 12-year-old daughter, and I'm saying this guy is a great dad for doing this.
Yeah.
But your 12-year-old daughter isn't going to, like, federal prison for homicide. She's going at most for a year in, like, juvie.
It sends the message, not to get too serious about this, but someone did die, and we're talking about the dog.
Yeah.
The message you're sending, if you say, I'll go to prison for this, because this is that's a life-altering, that is messed up.
Yeah.
If you're 12 and you kill somebody with a car, you're like, you know, that's a bad thing, right?
Yeah.
So I would take the blame, because if you take the official blame in the eyes of the law and you go to jail for it, you're really sending the message, listen, this is not your fault. It's my fault for letting you drive the car 100%. You didn't do anything wrong. Of course you killed somebody.
Yeah.
You should not have been driving this SUV. If you let her go to prison for it, you can tell her it's not her fault all you want. But that's not the message you sent with your actions.
I think, personally, this is where I stand on this, even though I gave this guy Dad of the Week, because it is truly a good
dad
move.
He went down
move.
Like a mafia hitman. Yeah.
Hey, all I care about is my daughter.
Yeah.
But, truly, I think they both should be in prison.
Well, isn't that what they do?
No.
The judge is like, one of you has to go to prison. Yeah. And then it's like a rom-com.
Yeah, and then they all point at each other, and the judge is like, wait, I have to go to prison?
And there's a monkey for some reason. Okay, I feel like we did a good job.
Yeah. Our guest this week is...
He's great.
He's great. He's incredible. He's a writer on Southside, The New All That, The Chris Gethard Show. You may have seen him on Difficult People or HBO's Crashing.
His own half-hour special on Comedy Central.
Will Miles.
Will Miles is here. And let me just tell you, this is such a quality gentleman that he makes up for the entire intro of our show.
Yeah.
Will Miles, his Twitter bio... says that he's Chicago bred, New York heart, LA now. So what's your bread? Where were you bred?
New Jersey.
Where's your heart?
New Jersey.
So you're New Jersey, LA?
Yeah. And now my heart is currently in LA.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. Oh, your heart is in LA.
Yeah. I love LA.
Oh.
It freaking rocks.
That's great.
How about you?
Bred Philadelphia. My heart is Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay.
And
did you ever live in Louisville?
No, but I was there for a night, performed a show, had a great time. and I forgot my heart there. That's what happened. It's still there. I got to go get it.
Cocaine.
I know. It's a hell of a drug. Will Miles, everybody. Guys, no one is more of an expert on socks than dads. For some reason, we hit a certain age, we become dads, and our feet become very important all of a sudden. And I gotta say, when I'm wearing a good pair of socks, I'm in a better mood. I treat the people I love better, and I'm a better father when I'm wearing comfortable socks. Thank you, Bombas, for doing that. And look, when I buy socks, I don't expect to heal the world, but that's what I'm doing when I buy Bombas socks, because they donate a pair of socks to somebody else in need. You know, maybe there's a guy out there who can't afford Bombas socks, but he's a dad, and he wants to be in a good mood. You need socks. Shoes are so mean. Socks are so sweet and soft and wonderful. Bombas socks makes the best ones. B-O-M-B-A-S, Bombas. They're a great company. They actually, every pair of socks that you purchase, they donate a pair of socks to someone in need. So you can feel good about buying their socks, but you can also feel good wearing them. They are so comfortable. They have arch support. They're made 100% cotton. They feel, you know, when you wear a good pair of socks and it feels like somebody is literally hugging your feet and they love your feet? It's like your loved one is holding your feet in their hands. That is what these socks feel like. And I am so excited that they are a sponsor of ours, because I get to wear them. And the thing that puts me in a bad mood faster than almost anything is when my feet hurt. And these socks help your feet feel fantastic all day. You won't be all irritated and taking it out on the people you love because your feet hurt. Because Bombas got your feet, buddy. They're going to take care of you. And they take care of somebody else in need. They donate a pair. Look, it's not complicated. It's socks. They're fantastic socks. They feel great. And it's a good cause, because when you buy a pair, they send a pair to someone in need. So you can buy your Bombas at bombas.com/2dads today. That's Bombas, bombas.com/2dads today, and get 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/2dads for 20% off. bombas.com/2dads. Show your feet you love them. Hey, Will.
Hey, what's up?
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Here in the Dad Shack.
The Dad Shack. You're a first non-dad, but you were a teacher.
Yes.
Yeah. And you're not a mom.
Not a mom.
So you're a first non-dad, non-mom.
Non-parent.
I was going to say there should be one word.
Yeah. I found it.
Sean, the human thesaurus over here.
So where did you teach?
Well, in Chicago, I...
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. I was a paraprofessional for a while, which is where you, try to integrate one child with needs into the regular classroom. And I probably wasn't supposed to say regular, but...
Is that why you're not doing that
anymore? Exactly. But yeah, I was the one... I was, 22 when I started it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was planning on being a stand-up comedian. I was a pothead. So it was one of those where I was like, I don't know how to be fake.
Can I ask an obvious question?
Yeah, yeah.
As someone who knows the personality type of young person who is a pothead and wants to be a comedian, how did you end up helping kids with needs.
Yeah,
how do you end up in that?
This seems like a tremendous blind spot for you.
Well, there's so many categories, and yeah. I want to respect them. That's all.
No, that's
so yours
great.
Is kids with needs.
Kids with needs.
And how did you even find that as a kid who, because I knew a lot of 22-year-old potheads who wanted to be comics, and none of them wanted to help kids with needs.
I was always pretty good with kids in college. I did education programs and stuff where you'd go to high schools around Atlanta and start to deal with kids and after school and shit like that. And so I always had a little inkling of something like that, and then pure nepotism. My mom worked at the school, and so
that's in every industry nepotism exists.
It's the best, yeah.
Even the most charitable, or yeah.
I think it's odd though that you think that's not what happens, because my former roommate in New York, Nick, huge pothead.
Yeah,
his job.
He was 22.
He was 22, and he was a pothead, and he worked at a school.
Oh, really?
Helping their kindergarten as a teacher's aide.
Man, yeah, I knew Nick for years and never knew that.
And you'll never guess how he lost the job.
How'd he lose it?
He got caught smoking pot during
really?
Break.
Yeah.
He got
you can't
arrested
do it at the school.
He got arrested.
No.
That's crazy.
How long ago did that happen?
7 years ago.
Wow.
It's very funny.
It is.
I mean, if I were in that program or that field, and I caught somebody smoking weed, I'd be like, it's fine. I get
yeah,
it.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah, I think it's
it's that you
cop.
Do it on
yeah. cop caught him.
Once the police catch you, then you're in real trouble.
Yeah, you don't want to.
It wasn't the fun teacher.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that's where Nick went wrong.
Yeah.
Was
yeah.
getting caught by a cop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If he would have got caught by the PE teacher.
Now we got a different story. Nick's still doing it.
As somebody who might have got caught by the PE teacher, he was like, I'm not going to tell your mom. I was like, great. Thank you, man.
So how long did you do that for?
8 years.
Wow.
And that was...
Did you love it?
No.
You can tell the truth.
I did not love it. I didn't think... Well, there was moments, too, where then they would you would have the one kid, and then you'd have three kids because the one kid liked you. And then you'd have a full class outside of the class you're supposed to be pushing into, trying to use PC terms. So I had maybe six kids every now and then, too.
So you had your own classroom?
Kind of, yeah. Okay. It was where I was trying to teach my kids the stuff they were teaching them in the other class.
To catch them up and get them acclimated.
So I had to change some of the programming of the other teacher to be all right, this is how we're going to learn this. I'm glad you guys are learning it this way. But yeah.
Oh, so you were teaching teachers as well.
I mean, I was doing that in New York too.
Really?
So I did that in Chicago, and then in New York I worked with a program that integrated into schools going through their curriculum and making it more accessible to black kids, basically.
Okay.
Insert Chappelle sketch.
Yeah. It kind of was like that. We used hip hop.
You come in on roller skates rapping.
You guys know Cardi B.
Yeah. Well, Cardi B is the original table of elements.
Literally. I guarantee in that program now they're using that. But I didn't like any of that.
Was the problem the kids or the system?
System.
Yeah.
Because you got to think what type of company would allow a 22-year-old pothead to work there for 8 years.
I wasn't even looking at it that way. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you probably didn't.
Clearly wasn't invested.
You probably didn't tell them you were the pothead part.
I think it's pretty obvious. And then There's like a stand-up clip going around at some point, and like the seventh and eighth
graders. And you're like, all I do is smoke pot. Yeah,
it was pretty much that. And like the seventh and eighth graders got a hold of it, and they were like, yo, Mr. Miles, have you seen his stand-up? He fucking is a pothead. And they would that would go around lunch, and I was the one watching lunch, and I'd be like, you guys got to fucking chill.
Isn't that kind of like in prison when they find out your crime was awesome, that you get more respect? Yeah. Is that how that works?
I did get a lot more respect.
I bet.
Once they were like, oh, you're a stand-up? Like, forget that you're obviously a pothead.
Yeah.
We don't really know what that is, but you do stand-up? That's insane.
So what was, do you have any, is there a favorite kid that you remember?
Jonathan. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
What? Yeah, absolutely.
What was he? What was his deal?
He was just like the coolest kid. He was one of those kids where he had like his life wasn't easy. Is the nicer way to say that? So he like it wasn't very easy.
So kids with needs is like
it goes. It's the spectrum. Like emotional, behavioral,
circumstantial.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was circumstantial, and this. Yeah. I have criticisms of the education system. I think they just look at a black kid.
Well, go to the front of the line. Yeah, exactly. No one else has any criticisms. Yeah. But
they label these black kids early, and they're like behavioral disorder. It's like, well, you haven't spoken to them, or like you don't know what's going on at home. And so that
they're like, I can't tell what he's saying.
Exactly. He said he's mad. I don't know why. It's like, well, did you talk to his mom? Exactly. I tried. Not easy. Yeah. So he was just one of those, but he was like so cool and funny, and he made jokes in class, like when he wasn't supposed to, and I would laugh. I'd be the only person laughing, like because when I'd push them into the regular class, he'd be like,
"Oh, so you'd stay there while they were in there?"
Yeah, I'd stay there.
Okay,
because like a lot of the kids were with autism, so I had to be there the whole time. Mm-hmm. So then it was like, I had to be in the back of the class sitting like a regular student. But I've got a beard.
With your knees up by your ears.
Exactly. So I was like looking to get out of class. So then like when he would make jokes, I'd be like, oh shit, this ain't that bad. All right, this kid's pretty fucking funny. He just brought up ecstasy in third grade like as a drug. I'm like, that's not appropriate.
You're like, that's a feeling. He's like, what?
Yeah, this might be third grade, but he's joking at an eighth grade level.
Exactly. He was killing it.
He's like, Molly's a girl's name?
All the older kids liked him too. Yeah, he was funny. And so I just would, I worked with his class till like eighth grade, from like basically first grade through eighth grade.
That's awesome.
So I love that kid. Yeah, I still keep in touch every now and then.
Oh, you do keep in touch?
Yeah, yeah.
He
found me on Facebook, and he's like 21 now, so it's like, okay.
He's like, let me smoke you out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Got that X, got that Molly. I remember kids that just were like massively charismatic.
Yeah.
And I always wonder what I want to look a couple of them up that I can still remember by name. I wonder, but usually they're like either killing it in sales, you know,
are you just talking about your peers?
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. I remember. I don't know any. I'm not a teacher.
I hang out and look up the charismatic kids I went to high school. See what they're up to.
Why not?
Senators? No.
Yeah. No, I hang out a lot of playgrounds, and some of these kids really stand out.
How did you get into comedy? I was the charismatic kid in my high school class.
I was being humble. It was me.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Do you think your teachers remember you?
I know one does. She likes all my Instagram posts.
Oh, wow.
Really?
But she was like my most important teacher, like Miss Filosa, if you're listening.
Aw.
You changed my life.
Nice.
You didn't fail me for making that SARS video.
Oh, man. SARS is a throwback.
Yeah. Yeah, it was topical at the time.
SARS is or is not bird flu?
I did a whole project on SARS, but
you're strangely qualified to answer this.
Yeah. Right, I believe it was a strand of bird flu that was found in Asia, but then it started spreading out because of like traveling and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah, we made a video where SARS comes to Mattawan, New Jersey, and it was just us running around town pointing at people and saying, you have SARS.
Oh, my God.
we were 24.
Yeah.
Do you have a teacher that you remember that is your...
Yeah, Miss Barth in fourth grade was pretty huge. I didn't really talk as a kid, and then fourth grade I like made a joke in her class and mm-hmm. she encouraged it, and then I was like, oh, I can talk if I'm funny. And so then yeah. the whole year I was just making jokes, and it was like, this is great. What a relaxing way to be.
That's amazing. That is like truly the opposite of, like, other than one teacher, every other teacher I had really wanted to silence me. That was my problem. Miss Pascal was mine. Miss Pascal,
really?
She was my the seventh grade science teacher, and she was the first one to be like, she would the kids would laugh, and she would like pause for laughter. You know, like,
nice.
She wouldn't like be like shut up or whatever. Every other teacher was like, you have detention. I had a teacher, Miss Trapani. Told this other kid, Brian...
Mr. Panty?
No, Miss Trapani.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I had questions, too.
Mr. Panty. No, but we did have a substitute teacher that worked all the time, and his last name was Pusty, and his first name was Harold. And
what?
I'm not making that up.
Harold Pusty?
Yes.
Harry Pusty? Yeah.
And he had a comb-over that was, like, wispy on top. It was the whole...
It's better than a bacon strip.
He was the whole package. But he... Miss Trapani used to tell this other kid, Brian, I can't remember his last name. She, every time I would talk out of turn, she had him make a hash mark, and then that was how many minutes after school I had to stay.
Wow.
And I was so furious at that kid for doing it for her. I'm like, why are you helping?
Snitch.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, in real time. Like, let her keep track. But Miss Pascal was awesome. She was like
that
me
kid.
Out.
That kid's probably the one that's a senator. Right?
Exactly. Conservative senator.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
So when did you stop doing it?
Stop doing the the last, I think, was 2014 was the last class I had with the integrated in New York, the integrating curriculum.
Was it hard to leave?
Because. No. Not at all. Yeah.
That reminds me. I asked a teacher that was retiring, one of my favorite teachers in high school. I was like, oh man, you're going to miss the kids, right? And she was like, no.
God, no.
It was the first time, because all you ever hear is like, I do it for the kids. The kids are the best part of the job, whatever. That's like the cliche. Yeah. And that was the first time she like shattered my world where she was like, no, why? You think you guys are fun? Like, you're teenagers. You're the fucking worst.
Exactly. And you do, it is. It's the weird mix of like, it is that, but then you're like, but I shouldn't be responsible for these kids.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, I do it for the kids and I want them to succeed, but I don't want to be in charge of it. Like, I don't, the fact that I have to be somehow involved in their success is like, that's too much pressure on me. I'm trying to go talk about weed on stage for an hour.
Yeah. It is hard to care about other people's success.
100%. Yeah, like, not when you're so focused on your own. It's like, this is impossible. I can't.
Yeah.
And it was, like, if obviously if it paid more, it would be an interesting job, I guess.
Let me ask you this, because you are in it.
Yeah.
Do you think that if the pay were a lot higher, that more quality people would get involved?
Yeah. Because I think the problem was it started in, like, not it started. I mean, people have been teaching forever, but the...
It seems like an obvious question, but part of me is, like... if the salaries were really high, you might attract people who don't give a shit that are just like, oh, cool, I'll be a teacher because,
that's a good you know, call.
It's good pay. Yeah. I've always wondered that. Not that I'm trying to find reasons to not fund
our
schools.
Yeah.
No, but I think in that way, you'd actually have your pick of the litter in that way.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Like, you would have to vet.
You'd have the people who just want a paycheck, but you'd also have the people who want to do it.
Yeah.
Because even with the low pay, that's still people who just want a paycheck.
Yeah.
It's like,
oh,
I just need a job, and this is very accepting if you go through these proper channels.
Right.
Like, you can pretty much do it anywhere.
I mean, like, in my head, I can understand being a teacher in a way, like, where it's like, you go, the hours are real great. Like,
full summer's off is the best thing.
Yeah, and full summer's off. It's fucking great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I miss that, for sure.
There is more work to it than people say, like think, though, right?
It's
like
so, with it's
curriculums
so
and stuff like that. You have to like design all that stuff.
Especially,
it's a long
if
day.
You're actually doing it.
Yeah, and if you even give a little bit of a shit, but like a lot of people don't give too much of a shit, and they're the like, I was looking at online on Twitter, and there's like a viral video of this white kid who gets up and he's
I saw that. It was awesome.
That? The long hair. He was
great.
Great. Yeah. And he's like, maybe if you gave a shit.
Yeah.
I was like, I love this kid.
And you talk to these kids in a way they give a shit.
Exactly.
He was saying, like, history is interesting.
Yeah.
And you're not teaching it to us.
You're sitting in your chair. You're putting on these videos. Mm-hmm. He's like, So it is that. Like,
he's
that,
like, anyway, I'm going to go drum for my metal band, but I'm going to be back tomorrow.
We'll be right back with more Your Two Dads.
And we're back. Yeah. It's Your Two Dads. And it's literally just two dads today. Miles is not a dad. Will right. Miles is not a dad. And he, but he does have it. You did have a dad, do have a dad.
I have a dad, yeah.
You have a dad. That's good. That's not as dark. how did that go?
He was great.
Yeah.
He was an entertainment lawyer for a bit. And then.
Entertainment lawyer?
Yeah.
Wow.
In Chicago?
Yeah. But he had to fly out here all the time.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
He's like, there's just not enough Second City cast members.
It's like Steve Harvey. It's like Steve Harvey and Oprah.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, all right. Well, Oprah's too big for me. he did Rep Common for a while.
Oh, that's cool.
He was out there, yeah. But that was fun. And yeah, he's like an inspiration. He was a politician too, so I think that's how I kind of got into comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all bullshit.
Yeah.
So is politics. So you can just like kind of in a room full of people, you bullshit, get them to like you. And that's the same thing I'm doing, basically.
Right. I like you. Am I falling for it?
No. This is fun for me. It's these writers' rooms where I'm actually bullshitting.
Yeah. What was the hardest part of his, like, was he a disciplinarian or was he?
He was, but I didn't really rock the boat much, and I don't think my brother did either. But it was like he just wanted us to be good. I mean, there was all strict rules of like 18, you're out of here,
mm-hmm.
and you just got to keep that in mind.
Was he a big manners guy?
Not really. No.
No?
Yeah.
Was your mom?
It didn't come off that way. No.
No.
I never felt like I think we had
because you haven't said please or thank you once since
exactly.
You got here.
Yeah. Yeah.
With those dimples, you don't have to. Don't worry about it.
Julian, you were when you're 18, you're out of here kind of guy, right?
No, actually, when I was 18, my dad was out of there.
Oh. All right.
I went to college. My dad moved out, moved away like to a different state, and so. The first break that you are supposed to go home is like pretty quick. It's like
November.
November. It's like a month or it's like 2 months. And in 2 months, I already couldn't go home.
Wow.
So it was like.
You were really holding him down.
He was waiting.
He told me. He goes, I fucking hate this town, but I'm going to stay until you graduate high school. And I was like, cool. I feel like you don't resent me at all.
Yeah.
See, I don't blame him. I mean, it was like a. It was a suburb. It was like a rich, you know, boring white people suburb. And my dad is not like that at all.
Yeah.
And I knew he didn't want to be there. But I also was like, look, I would move for you, but I'm not going to be new like junior year. So, you know.
It's so odd to me that Julian and I grew up in the same state of New Jersey. He grew up in the rich white suburb.
But my dad made $12 an hour. Like,
yeah.
I was a poor kid in a rich town.
Yeah.
I was middle class in the poorest town. Like,
oh, wow.
But, like, not even middle class. Like, lower middle class.
Oh, yeah.
But, like,
his town is a punchline in New Jersey.
In
which one?
It's called Keensburg.
Oh, wow.
It's the worst town. It is one square mile.
It's like
mile.
The Newark of the show. Not Newark. More like Trenton.
Okay, yeah.
Of the shore.
Of the shore. Yeah. It's one square mile, and I think its claim to fame in like the 80s and 90s was that in the one square mile there was like 28 bars. And like, it's just where the town went to die. They would just go and drink themselves to death.
Mm-hmm.
It was so sad. But now, people are coming over and they're building things and everyone's like, oh, it's going to be a town.
Yeah.
Historic Keensboro. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, because it's on the shore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it does, we talked about this last week. It has a boardwalk, right?
It has a boardwalk.
So it's like all it needs is a couple of rich people being like, oh, I can buy a house for $400,000 and then it's done. It's over.
The problem with it is the richest people in town own the boardwalk and they don't plan on renovating it. Even though rich people are coming in and want to buy the boardwalk.
Why?
It would cost too much money. You gotta save money to make money or something. Like I don't know how money works.
Well, they don't
Again,
want.
I came from the worst town in New Jersey.
Because if you think about it, the boardwalk industry is carnies.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. It's run by carnies, so it's like I don't want rich people don't want that.
Oh no, these guys are straight up wasps.
Yeah, it's like the most boring. It's like the first adult boardwalk where it's just like wine tasting and cheeses.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this thing sucks.
This is actually dark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But did you ever get into, do you have a fight with your dad that you remember?
No. Just wow. Like,
well, I guess you're going to lose. He's a lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The fights have only been like when he's sick and you're like, you got to eat. It's that kind of shit where mm-hmm. it's like in the moments when you realize you now have to like kind of take care of your parents.
Like that,
you don't
yeah.
have to, but like for some reason you feel the need to like, well, you took care of me for all those years and you're feeling sick, so now I have to take care of you. So
right.
it's just like the small shit of like, you got to do this.
I feel like you
and
might be
a
very good guy.
Yeah.
I'm getting this.
Are you single? Because yeah. my sister.
You are just the nicest person on earth.
Are you married?
I'm married, yeah, yeah.
Oh, who are you
yeah.
married to?
Julia Rossi.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you.
I knew you guys were dating, but I didn't know you married her.
Yeah, just recently, a month ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Congratulations.
Courthouse.
Oh, nice.
Very cheap.
That's the way to go.
Which one did you do?
Brooklyn Courthouse.
Oh, in New York.
Yeah, 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 we went back there to do it because we met there. But it's
you met at the courthouse?
Yeah, we met.
We her met mom is a lawyer. Your dad is a lawyer. You were both waiting in the hallway for their work to be done.
What are you doing here?
All right, we got to get to a game.
Okay, yeah.
So let's, before Coach T comes over here and punches me in the face. So, which one do you want to play? We have two
let's
done.
Let's do Never Have I Ever. We have all these props.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, as a former prop comic, I hate to see a prop go to waste.
Why is there that dick hanging out of your back?
I don't think we...
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to be drinking this pear, spinach, and pea. I'm going to go eat a dick.
Yeah. Pear, spinach, and penis. We're going to play Never Have I Ever, which everyone, I believe, knows the rules to Never Have I Ever.
But why don't you explain it?
I don't want to because I've never played it.
Well, you basically say something, and then we have these baby food things. Of
I went to Target and picked some baby food packets drinking.
I have pear, spinach, and pea mm-hmm. baby food. You have?
I have blueberry, carrot, and millet. And feel free to tweet at us what millet is.
And then the nicest man in the world will be drinking what?
Vegetable and beef medley with quinoa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man,
and if you're a longtime listener of Your Two Dads, you know that the beef medley is has a lot of beef.
Yeah, I mean, you will taste the beef.
Yeah.
You know how you see dog food and you're like, do dogs like this?
Yeah.
When you see baby food, you're like, but I know what baby, like, I'm a human too.
Yeah.
I wonder if babies like this.
I think the only thing that I've heard about baby taste buds is that they like bland.
Okay.
They don't like a lot of flavor.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's why you don't feed them the vegetable and beef medley.
Yeah. That's why tits don't have flavor. And if they do, get out of there. That's my early 90s set.
But I don't even get it.
I like it, though, a lot. This is the stuff that would kill.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to play a game. Never, never, never have I ever.
Never have I ever.
I just ended it.
We're a barbershop quartet.
We are, or with two, but right. I mean, I'm as big as three.
And what's the word for two people singing?
Duo.
All right. Duo.
In my head, I was going duplet.
No, that's a blanket.
I'll start. So basically what you do is you...
I was just going to do a riff, we're literally getting kicked out of the room. Okay.
You say something, and then if you've done it, you take a swig of alcohol, but in this case, baby food.
Right. Okay. And this is going to be kid-oriented.
Yeah, kid-oriented.
Okay.
A common bond between dads and teachers is they've probably had enough of children.
Right.
So here we go. The first one I have is, have you ever cursed at one of your students?
Don't you
kids?
Say never have I ever?
Never. Oh, yeah. Never have I. Oh, man. Stickler over here.
Yeah.
Never have I ever cursed at one of my kids.
Yeah, I got to drink.
I got to drink that.
Did you ever?
Ooh, that's good.
This actually is. I like this.
This is not.
That's why I bought it. It tastes like you're sucking a cow's dick, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So much grizzle.
Accurate. Yeah.
So when you were a teacher, did you ever curse at?
Yeah. Because I had lunchroom, and so I would, like, be in charge of lunchrooms, and you guys got to stop being dicks, all right?
Yeah.
I ended up saying that. There was like, you know, my occasional, oh, when I was a girl soccer coach too. And the other team, you know, we were Lincoln Park, Chicago. So it was like we had a bunch of rich kids, mostly white. But one of our kids was Brazilian and they didn't know it. And she also spoke Spanish. And so like the ref was speaking Spanish to the other team and they were like, he was kind of helping them and cheating with them. And I had my clipboard and I don't know if part of me wanted to be like, fucking Bob, whatever, from Indiana coach.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, I'm going to show up right here and like go crazy. So I threw the clipboard down. I said, this is fucking bullshit. And like all my team was right there. They were, but the parents were there and they were like on board with me.
Yeah.
So it would look good, but they were like, I can't believe he's cursing like this. I was like, you can't be cheating. This is a kid's game. And you're, what are you teaching these kids by cheating? I was really mad, but.
Oh man. When a teacher curses, it does steal every child's air. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, it's awesome.
I had a teacher, my sixth grade teacher, Miss Sakura. She called me a fucking idiot in front of the class.
No!
I swear to God. And it stole all of our souls. Because what happened was she was trying to show...
Holy shit, in sixth grade?
In sixth grade.
That's
so here's
insane.
Here's
that's
what happened.
That's a fireable offense.
Something
tells me she
when you
was
hear
totally
her,
justified.
Yeah, when you hear her side of the story, it makes sense. So she was showing us... She was a science teacher. She was showing us how like common household products can look like other things and how we shouldn't just eat
like Tide Pods back then.
It was basically she put Ajax next to crushed up Oreo crumbs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I know which one is. And then I ate the Ajax.
What?
And she was like, you fucking idiot!
Oh my God!
She thought I was gonna die.
And you're like, joke's on you, I eat Ajax all the time.
Yeah.
You're like, you're like Princess Bride.
No, she made me drink Ipecac in front of the class and I had to throw it up.
In front of the class?
No, yeah. I had to go to the bathroom, but she made me drink it in front of the class. And then I was like, what's going to happen? And then she was like, go to the bathroom. And
I
just barfed for a day.
Wow.
A day?
A day. Or like, Jesus. I don't remember, but I threw up a lot. I threw up every content in my stomach.
It'd be so funny
after being called a fucking idiot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It'd be so funny if you ran to the bathroom and stood over the sink and then just shit your pants. I didn't understand.
Oh, that came when I started drinking.
Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't the epic. Great. I have to just be better about cursing around my own kids. I can tell they already know what the bad words are. We never told them what they were.
Yeah.
But like we'll be listening to a lot. We play a lot of songs in the car that have bad words in them and they will sing the song and not sing the bad word and then keep singing the song and no one taught them which one it was. So I don't know how they do that. It's like a sixth sense or something.
They can just tell.
Yeah.
Your energy.
Like we listen to Cardi B in stone silence. All right. So do you want to go?
Oh shit. Never have I ever been so high around kids that I regretted being high.
You were saying that while about to take a sip of it. I never did that. I never got high. Because I can't do stand-up when I'm high.
And, oh, yeah.
And, like, I don't really like being high. Like, I stopped liking weed when I was like 25.
Yeah.
So I smoked it a bunch more, but I never like liked it. You know, it's just like, oh, drugs? Okay. But yeah, luckily I've never done that. But I feel like it would be fun.
It's fun. It can be fun.
Does it help you get on their level?
I think
because kids
didn't
are
work
hot.
Out. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I was, so I lived next to the school and then I would go home and then meet the kids at soccer practice because I did have to go get like the ball and like I had certain stuff in my house for practice. And while I was there, the bong was out. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to have the bong.
Oh, so you're going to soccer practice.
Yeah, soccer
though.
Practice is different. Yeah. But I was, as I was at practice, I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know what to tell. What am I even doing?
There's
here?
So many rules to yeah. soccer.
Yeah. I was like, am I even qualified for this?
Yeah, I took a sip because I went to a Catholic high school and we had to, senior year, we had to go to like a younger, like grade school, mm-hmm. Catholic school, and like help out there. And me and my friend, who were both, that was our mission, we smoked pot on the way there and then just went to like a kid's gym class super high. And I had so much fun playing dodgeball. It was,
oh, that must have been awesome.
It was a fucking dream. like definitely threw Boom. Way too hard.
I feel like parents used to get a lot more drunk, like in our parents'
yeah.
era, like with raising kids, just because like there were no phones, like there was nothing to distract. Like you just everybody, it's like one of those things where parents are like, if we're all drinking, yeah. nobody gets in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I like to think that like our parents' parents drank and drove exclusively with our parents in the car.
Yeah,
like,
it was in
like,
the front seat.
Yeah, it's right. just like how they. Well, we have to get home.
Yeah,
right.
yeah.
It's
Do you have one?
Yeah. Never have I ever told the truth when I probably shouldn't have.
Oh, yeah. All the kids, yeah.
No. I'm
well, no one's too.
Yeah.
Unless you've ruined Santa Claus. Yeah, yeah.
No. Did you ruin Santa Claus?
No.
Are you going
to? Although, Goldie's six and she's smart, and I'm like, wait a second. Is she playing along at this point already? Yeah. She must be, right?
Probably.
I mean, some kid in her class has to have been like, there's with an older brother or something, has to have been like, you know, Santa Claus isn't real, right?
Yeah, well, and there's also like, you know, kids from other religions and stuff who don't even know yeah. what Santa Claus
Not
is.
Not in her school.
You're implying diversity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She goes to Silver Lake Public School. Unless Steve Jobs counts as a god, I don't
yeah.
think.
I can't believe there's not like Unitarians or something.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I'm sure there's other religions, but you know.
Ask them.
I should.
Just go up to
Hey, kid.
There's definitely like a
What
white
bullshit
guy.
God are you listening? Yeah.
There's a white Buddhist up there.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I told kids the things you're not supposed to say as teachers, like this doesn't matter or like this is unimportant.
Yeah.
Which I've like math, like past a certain level of math, I'm like, you're never going to use this.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I think, like, truly outside of addition and yeah. multiplication, I never use math.
No.
And there's calculators.
Yeah, yeah. There's calculators and there's phones. It's like you truly have no use for this later in life.
Yeah, like, I remember I got a D in calculus senior year. I don't know what calculus is or used for. Like,
same.
At the time, I didn't even know. Yeah. Obviously, I got a D.
Right. I failed pre-calculus in college, or it might have been regular calculus, whatever, in college, four times. I had like four W's.
Wow.
And I had to fully load every semester after that. It was insane.
There's like a certain level of math where like if you're not, because I think everybody's smart enough to do math.
Yeah, I
but
agree.
It's a matter of will, and you just like don't want to do it. You're never gonna fucking get it. Mm-hmm. It's not like your brain will just like get it anyway. You have to actually like it,
especially when you like decide your major. And you're like, I don't. What's the point of this math shit?
I failed statistics twice in college because was like the one that was supposed to be the easiest math or whatever, and it was
and it was so much harder.
Yeah.
I took statistics, being like, I love stats.
Yeah,
I'm like Daryl Strawberry batted 249.
Yeah, exactly.
He batted 249,
and then like, day one, I was like, whoops, this is not
also,
what we're learning.
Mine
this
doesn't translate. Friday morning, 8:10 a.m.
Oh.
And at Rutgers, Thursday night was the night to go out. It wasn't the weekend.
Oh yeah,
so it was like, I never went. Yeah. But I told my problem with telling my kids the truth too much is when they do something that I understand why they did the bad thing, I really have to stop doing this. I know it's not right parenting. I always go, I used to do that all the time.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that. You have to be like, it doesn't matter that you can relate. You know what I mean? Like
you can't help but feel it, though.
I know. Yeah. It's so hard to not be like, I get not wanting to make your bed. I never made my bed. But I said that once. And by the third time I did it in front of Meg, she was like, she had to like pull me aside and be like, you gotta stop doing that, because they don't hear the lesson. They just hear, oh well, if you did it, I don't have to do it.
Exactly.
You
know? Yeah.
So I have to stop doing that.
But I think that also goes both ways, where like you could say that it's like it's the equivalent of someone being like, when I was your age, I like walked 40 miles, and you're like, I don't care. Like, it goes both ways. You have to be somewhere in the
middle. I think you
can
pick your battles. I think it's more important, actually, if you don't do it all the time, that when you do it, you pick it, then it matters to them.
Yeah,
but if you're always like, hey, fuck, I didn't want to do anything I'm telling you to do.
Yeah, this is actually good. I need to hear this. It's like, I know how little I've done in my life, and I will say that to
him. Yeah, so you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Past a certain age, though, it is welcome. Like, after... Yeah. 22, when my dad would say I used to do that, I'd be like, oh, thank God. Right. Like, I thought I was such a loser.
Yeah. Yeah, like the first time my dad was like, yeah, I hated your ex-wife too. I'm like, all right, so we're on the same page. Do you want to go around one more round, or do you want to do a quick...
I think,
or are we done?
I think we have one. We have a diaper bag question.
Oh, that's fine. Okay, great.
Yeah, here it is.
Let's wait. We got to open it.
Okay, wait. Yeah, all right, it's open.
Hold on, 5 more seconds.
All right, what's our question?
This question comes from future guest Mike McMahon, EP on Rick and Morty.
Great.
Nice. He says, are we supposed to show emotion to our kids or hide it all and just occasionally drink too much and cry during October Sky? He wouldn't even show emotion in the question. What I think he's trying to say is, like, how do you show emotion?
What's October Sky?
It's the Jake Gyllenhaal movie
from
like the late 90s, where he wants to send a rocket to space.
I don't remember that.
It's like a science fair movie.
Oh.
Mike.
A science fair movie?
It's like not even sad. Yeah. Why are you crying at that?
But I think that is a good question of like, how do you show emotion to your kids?
Yes. Well, there's that whole issue of getting, you know, losing your temper or, you know, whatever. It's important to model that an emotional reaction is normal, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, I think the main thing is, well, if he's asking, do you show emotion? Yes. But I think that you don't allow your emotions to cause you to act out in a way that, you know, or if they do, you say, I apologize for that, but that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in therapy for 4 months and I'm just learning to show my emotions. So, mm-hmm. like, I would love to know how to answer this question, but I'm still not there yet because my therapist hasn't shown me how to use my emotions.
I don't therapy for a few weeks, so.
I'll say
it's really hard.
Yeah.
Like, I just found out that, like, some of the feelings I thought were feelings aren't actually feelings.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because whenever she's like, how does that make you feel? I go, I feel like, and she's like, well, the moment you say like, that's not a, you're about to say something not a feeling.
That's a thought.
It's a thought.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, it's like anger, sadness.
Oh.
Like, those are feelings.
Identifying emotions is really difficult.
It's so hard.
Because a lot of us are out of touch with it.
Yeah.
That's why Meg, my fiance, is like one of the most natural parents. I mean, she's just unbelievable at it. I'm like, where did you go to fucking school for this? And she's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, you're just a person? Cool. What's that like?
Yeah.
But she shows, I remember being like, whoa, she'll like be sad in front of Lulu, who's 4. She'll like be visibly sad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't do that. Like, my initial reaction is like, no.
Yeah.
But it's totally right. And then she's like, I'm feeling sad right now. She'll tell her, I'm feeling sad right now, but I know I'll feel better soon, and it's okay to feel sad.
See, I think that's
good.
I think that's a good recovery, but you should never show weakness to your children.
Sean, I hate to break this to you. Weakness, not an emotion.
That's a thought.
Okay, I didn't even let you answer this. What do you think about this subject?
But I don't know emotions very well either.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I like the stuff about how you show your kids emotions.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like that's a smart move. I don't know. I'm realizing I don't know how much of my dad's sadness I saw, other than like the hints of it here and there would be like Menace to Society ending. And you're like, oh, this is relating to something you grew up watching, like around, it grew up around you. And then we'd get a story about some of his friends growing up and you're like, okay, I get that making you sad. So like most of my sadness, I only know it and recognize it when it's like a death or like
yeah.
stuff like that, where I'm like, oh, I'm obviously sad because this our friend died. And then it's like, okay, cool, I can acknowledge that. But then like stuff at work that is making me sad, I can't identify. And then it'll take like a certain thing to trigger it. And then I'll open up and then my wife will be, Julie will be like, oh, this is, you've been feeling this. I've noticed little parts of it for the last 4 months. And this is now this coming to a head. I'm like, how the fuck did you do that?
Yeah.
I think it's unfair. Like this happens with my wife too, is that she notices when I'm feeling a certain way.
Yeah.
And then doesn't tell me until way later.
Yeah, I'm exactly. Like,
you could have saved this.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting you say that, because now that I think about it, I don't remember seeing my dad be emotional.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like a really sensitive guy, but I don't. Yeah. I can't tell you a time when I saw him be like at a funeral. I saw him cry, and you're exactly. like, wow, I don't want to. I mean, I'm all for him crying, but like it's fucking brutal when you
jarring.
See your dad
yeah.
cry. Yeah. Yeah.
The only time I ever saw my dad be emotional is just sheer bouts of anger, like gritted teeth
right.
yelling.
Well, that's
like
that's the problem with most men is we turn all of our emotions into anger, because anger is the one we know how to express, and so when we feel a different one, we're like, how do I turn this into anger
exactly.
so I can express it?
Well, what I learned at therapy is that how I express my anger is I'm a catty bitch.
Oh, I know. When I'm texting with you and you say something shitty, I'm like, oh, he's furious.
Yeah. That's finding that out is that I'm not an angry guy. I'm just Kathy Griffin. It's kind of annoying.
I probably lean that way too.
The only important thing I've learned about the parenting side of it, and then we can be done, I guess, is on the subject, is I have a hard time. This is really big. When your kid comes to you and they feel something, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be sadness. It can be anything. It can be joy. It can be whatever. We tend to immediately like squash it or manage it in a way. So we're like, that's great, but, or, you know, don't let it do, you know, whatever. We immediately want, we don't want to. And the important thing is to let it, let them feel it. And say, it's okay to feel what you're feeling.
Yeah.
Or it's great to feel what you're feeling. But you got to acknowledge what they're feeling. And then be like, and then it naturally passes. And if it's a good emotion, great. Just like, let it be.
Yeah.
But if it's a bad one, you let it pass. You tell them, this is going to pass, you know, but I'm here with you and that's it. You don't try to talk them out of their emotions. Because then that's how you raise guys like us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't know that, but my friend in Denver, Julia, not my wife, but also another best friend. She has a son, and she was doing that with him, where he was like crying, and my instinct was to be like, "Hey, man, it's all good. Don't cry." But she was like, "No. This is great. Cry it out. Finish crying. Like, this is good. You're experiencing
the emotion. It hurts to do the thing you did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You should know that this is how it feels when this happens. It's like, yeah, okay, I didn't."
I'm not ready to be a dad.
I was like, I'm out.
You're like slowly putting the joint back in your pocket. You're like, how is it going to make him feel better? But I guess
this works for me, man. All right, cool.
Oh, don't give him a joint. All right.
Will, do you have anything you want to promote?
Watch all that. Although you already got paid, so who gives a shit, right?
Watch Southside on Comedy Central.
Oh, hell yeah.
Watch Sherman Showcase on IFC. Listen to recently added podcast. I host that with Nick Turner. You guys know him?
Yeah.
It's all about
and
Netflix
Grown-ish,
stuff.
Right?
And Grown-ish, yeah. Watch Grown-ish next year. Watch now, actually. No, next year it comes out. Season 3 comes out.
Okay.
And what else? That's it, I think. Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. That's a good amount of
Grown-ish. That is the most promotion that's ever had. And that just shows you how prolific we're. Yeah. Feel terrible now? Do you have anything you want to promote?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys. Please like, subscribe.
Yeah, and tell a friend about our show.
Subscribe, rate, tell friends.
Rate and review, and also tell a friend to listen
Start
to our show.
Start a Reddit.
Yeah.
I don't care.
All we want to do is make merch, and we need to know that more than 5 people are going to buy
something.
That's
all we need to know. Thank you. Bye.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
To women who hoped to evade the ticking clock of time, Dr. Frederick Brandt was the most potent drug dealer in the world. And the dealer got high on his own supply. From Imperative Entertainment and the team behind Broken Hearts, comes a new series that will challenge everything you know about fame, fortune, and the fear of growing old. I'm Justine Harmon, and this is The Baron of Botox.